This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
The following program, Over the Fence, is content shared with us from Irirangi o Whangaroa, Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM.
Afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show for today. And I'm unable to bring you a live show today, but never fear, folks. I'm going to bring you a couple of interviews I've done in the past. One is with Jess and Bronwyn Hill from Dreamview Creamery. And we'll follow that with one from Carl Steiner, who's an organic dairy farmer from Galatea. So hope you enjoy both these interviews, folks, and I'll be back again next week.
Now we're joined in the studio by Jess Hill and Bronwyn Hill from Dreamview Farm in Creamery. Welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you both in here.
Yeah, it's lovely to be here too.
It's such a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very exciting that it's your 100th episode.
Yes, that's right. You were in here on my very first episode, Jess. Yep. I remember very well. That was I remember we were just talking about how nervous I was and forgetting the staff and do. Actually, went to go find that show to see what music I played on it, but I must have forgot to record it. But right. Yeah, the interview's still there, but not the rest of the show. But it'll be floating around somewhere. Aaron might be able to dig it out. But yeah, will he be bothered? Probably not. But yeah, not. Might be there somewhere still.
Yeah, we've just been telling Craig how cool and calm and collected he is. You see. And then he thought back to his first show.
Well, first you, yeah. No, first
he was really freaking out that first show.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But yeah, it was like any practice, you know.
Yeah, after 100 times, you get pretty good.
For sure,
so,
yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Thank
because,
you,
we were just talking too about how amazing your show is, and I was like complimenting you on how hard you've worked on this.
Thank you, Bob.
There's an awful lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, and we really appreciate
it. It's fun. I really enjoyed it. I keep in touch with the headlines, you know, promising the headlines that way. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't bother. And I love like the weather and moon stuff and things like that. Yeah. Will I get a chance to do any of that today? Probably not, but maybe. It's just fun. I get to meet a lot of interesting chat to a lot of interesting people, and it's just great. Yeah,
that's cool. But it's quite a big task to find someone to try and interview every week, so, isn't it?
Can be. It's been actually quite good lately for some reason. But sometimes it's just nothing for weeks. So
yeah,
we've got to make up something to talk about.
Yeah, but I must say, Raglan's full of very talented, interesting people.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
And, because I suppose we've expanded out a bit now I think about it. It used to be just kind of agriculture, but now I think, do a few gardening things and stuff like that as well. And, fisheries, we had your flatmate, of course, on last week, Jess. She was very good, very interesting person.
Sounded like she enjoyed herself.
Excellent, that's good to hear. she sounded she sounded keen to come back again. So, listen back to that one. Julie Jacobowski, cool last name too.
Yeah.
Oceanographer. Actually, I actually drove past just on that one. I was coming to town and I saw a bunch of kids and a few adults lined up along the side of things. It must have been the dropping the oranges off thing.
She said, I said, did they enjoy it? And she said, well, they did it, so they must have enjoyed it. I was like, oh, that's good.
Have they found out where the oranges went or whatever yet?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. They did make a whole bunch of graphs and stuff, but I never actually asked her.
That's cool.
What the outcome was.
Active science,
totally.
But anyway, we're here to talk about Dreamview and you guys anyway. I can't remember exactly when it was. It was maybe two and a bit years ago or something, the first show. I probably should have looked it up, shouldn't I? But didn't. so what's changed? Oh. Up at Dreamview, heaps.
It's weird to think back and like try and remember what happened 2 years ago.
Yes.
But I guess the biggest difference biggest change we have is that we've got a new creamery now, a new factory.
Big, beautiful new building.
It certainly beats the 20-foot shipping container that we were in beforehand.
Yeah, it looked kind of pokey in there, I remember.
It was a little squashed and very hot.
Yeah. Very hot, yes.
Yeah. We had to squeeze past each other. It was, quite awkward.
There was usually three of us working in that little space, and now we've got, 200 square metres? Building.
Big building.
It's a big building.
Yeah.
But it's great. We have plenty of space and we have a lunchroom and I even have an office, which is exciting. Cool. And, yeah, all the bells and whistles. Yeah. So
bathroom even.
And a bathroom. Absolutely. We used to have to go home to the houses to go to the bathroom.
So it's a big advantage.
Yeah,
so that's cool new development. And I'm trying to think staff-wise, how many extra staff would you have now compared like to a bit years ago?
We probably would have a few.
We've doubled easy, probably.
Easily tripled. Yeah.
Tripled even?
No. Only doubled.
Oh, from 2 years.
I'm trying to think who was there. There was Shannon, of course, Coda.
Yeah.
Miriam was still there.
Yeah.
Me and Dad.
You too.
Me, I had Fergus and Barney working with me on the farm.
That's right.
And Glenn.
And Glenn was there.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't quite there then, maybe. Or was he? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember if he was quite there then or not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was there or thereabouts.
Yeah. So staff, it's definitely got bigger. Delivery trucks, we've probably got maybe at least two more since.
How many in the black and white fleet now are there, Jess?
There's six. Whew. Black and white fleet. They all have names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And they're all named after, like, our drivers have all named them.
Right.
Because a lot of them were from overseas, so they named them correlating to where they're from.
Where they come from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. No. Yeah. I know one's called Daisy. That's kind of the only one I remember. I thought,
Rosie.
Oh, must have, Rosie. Oh, Rosie. No, Rosie. I can't remember that.
No, the first two trucks were named by us, so.
Yes.
Right.
Floss was the first one, was our one of the first pet cows that we had when we moved up to that farm. And we kept her
23 years ago.
Yeah. And then the next one was one of our favourite little calves, wasn't it?
The year that we started Dreamy.
Called Rosie. And then after that, the other trucks, we let the drivers name that were driving those particular trucks. And depending on what part of the world they came from, they got all different names from
that's cool.
relating to where they drivers came from. So
when did you and David first go up there? Do you remember, Brian?
Oh, we were just talking about that, weren't we, Jess? Mm. Jess was three. So 23 years ago.
23 years ago.
Jess was three and the twins were one.
All right.
Yep.
Matt and Kathy.
Ideal time to move somewhere.
Yeah, it is. it's a bit crazy.
It's a beautiful farm up there. Lovely views. Isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah.
It is a beautiful
great spot.
View.
Hence the name Dreamview.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
You've got the same view where you live, pretty much.
Gone them, pretty much. Just over the ways.
That's right.
Absolutely. It's lovely up there, and it's good. You're far enough out of town, but you're close enough. It doesn't take long to get to town, but then it's proper country sort of.
Yep, totally.
Living, I love it up there.
Lovely.
But all right, and so. Okay, you got heaps more trucks, you got heaps more staff. You got a big new building. Same amount of cows.
Same amount of cows. Same amount of cows.
But I suppose in the last couple of years, you were only calving once, weren't you? Now you're calving, three times?
Three times.
Yes.
That's a big change. Yeah.
That has been a really big change, actually, that whole management of making sure we have milk all year round now. We can't have, the cows dry off for, 6 weeks like we would have used to,
Just talk a bit closer on your microphone, please, Brian.
Sorry.
I can't reach you over there.
So basically, that's taken quite a bit of time to change.
Yeah, think about that happening. Yeah, it's a slow process, isn't it?
It is a slow process, You can't just, doesn't just happen overnight. And we haven't bought any new stock. We've just slowly moved our existing stock, some of them at least, onto autumn calving rather than spring.
And when's the third one? Is it February or something?
Oh, December, January, third calving.
Is that this year or next year?
This year.
Yeah,
a little bit. We just really hope that no one calves on Christmas Day. Come on, guys, just wait until after Christmas Day.
And something else happened, Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
Your sister and your daughter, of course, Brian, she's back on the property now. She's doing farm management stuff now.
Yep. Absolutely.
She's managing the farm now. And then I manage the creamery.
It's been an absolute amazing thing for us to have our family home doing these things. It's amazing. So, first of all, Jess, with all the passion and the absolute dedication that she brings to the job.
And the skills and the wiliness to make it all happen.
It's just hard work. And then Kathy comes along and takes over. Well, first of all, she started working in the creamery, but she's not an inside girl.
All right.
She hated being inside. So she's taken over managing the farm. And, man, what a wonderfully amazing manager she is.
All right.
So we can just, you know, she's got everything really well sorted.
Excellent.
And she works with a few cool people, including you at times, Craig, and you come in and do your thing too. And then, of course, your son, Matt, he was part of the group of engineers that designed the building. That was his first job out of uni.
Cool.
So it is like the whole family have really been involved in setting it up, which is really cool.
He's coming back in a week or two to go and spray some weeds or something too, isn't it?
Yes, he is.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm so excited for him to come home.
Yeah. He's going to work on the farm for a couple of months, and then he's off to England to work. He's got a job over there.
Fair enough.
So that's pretty exciting. We'll have him home for a while.
It's interesting when you think about it. It doesn't seem long, but yeah, there's actually been a lot kind of happening those two years.
A lot has happened.
I suppose you wouldn't be able to know if, well, you might, Jess, off the top of your head, probably, or you might be able to estimate. I wonder how many customers you went from, like, maybe 2 years ago to, like, now, I wonder.
I can guesstimate how many litres we've sold between.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
That's what I strive for. Actually, even customers, we probably would have had about 1,000, or just over 1,000 customers. And now we're close to 3,000 customers. Yeah. Litres, we're just doing about 6,000 litres a week at the moment, and we were probably doing about 4,000 litres back 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 5,000. Yeah.
It's a big jump.
It is a big jump.
Yeah, and
That was just perfect timing, really, with the new creamery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was, because we just couldn't grow any bigger in our little 20-foot shipping container, so,
I'm trying to remember, I think you might have been going to maybe one... Well, two, like, Binnens or something in Hamilton a couple of years ago, but now you're all over town.
Yeah, I don't know if we were going to Tauranga 2 years ago either, but...
I don't think so.
We might have just started, but, yeah, we now go to Tauranga twice a week.
Yeah.
And, Hamilton six times a week. We go to a whole bunch of different, whole food stores and greengrocers and butchers and supermarkets.
And like, little deli type. Specialty type stores.
It keeps us busy. But
some small supermarkets, but no big supermarkets.
Right.
Yeah, it does keep us busy. But and then the raw milk side of it is definitely. Well, we're one of the few people that do that. Actually, not many other people actually do that, and that actually takes a lot of. Jess, to tick all the right boxes for MPI to do that.
A lot of paperwork.
Yeah, a lot of work. Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Once you get, we've been doing it for long enough now that it kind of is just...
Oh, it takes longer in the shed, of course, too. You've got to do special things.
A lot more careful with how we clean and...
It's great. Oh, no, but you know, I love raw milk, yeah.
Exactly.
It's so good.
And that's grown a lot. In the last few years, is the raw milk and
great.
It has actually,
And
the pasteurised, the trim and cream.
Oh yes,
there's a lot of people that like, especially around Hamilton, heaps of people that drink trim
milk. Kind of fans, even at home. No taste.
I think it's funny when customers buy like a bottle of trim and a bottle of cream. I'm like, why don't you just buy the full cream milk? And you get, obviously they're using it for different things, just makes me laugh.
And you got a new product as well. Motion of coming out, or is it officially on the go?
Is officially now. We just need to like.
Let me guess. More paperwork.
Yes, more paperwork. Jess has been working hard on
all the
that.
Paperwork.
How many hours? I had a guess. How many hours would you do just for like the yogurt paperwork to get that sort of ready?
A week.
I can't really take. Mum did most of it,
and we were able to
steal a lot of work that we'd already done for our pasteurised milk from
Some of it doubled up,
but still a decent amount of time. A solid 3 or 4 days. And also mixed in with a lot of procrastinating as well.
We're
getting distracted by other things that are more important at the time.
And understanding what they want you to tell them. It's a diabolical.
Is it only Ministry of Prime Ministries, or is there other crowds you got to do paperwork for or whatever?
No, just them. So we have, they have external auditors that a different company that comes and audits us for them, on behalf of them.
Right. Mm.
So we...
That's every, what, month or whatever? Or?
It's every year. It's actually every year for our pasteurised milk, and we'll be there for the yoghurt, and then every 2 years for raw milk.
Okay.
So, it used to be a lot more frequently, yeah. But now that we've been going longer, they've extended it out because they know we're sort of following the procedures.
All right.
So they're letting us...
Being rewarded for your good deeds kind of thing.
I think so, yeah.
Well, that's good news.
But, yeah, the audits are amazing. Like, they are a full day, non-stop.
Yeah.
Non-stop, the whole day, just sitting down with this
look at the shed,
person.
Look at the thing, look at the that.
Yeah, the paperwork more than anything.
Right.
So much paperwork.
Yeah. So many folders worth of paperwork.
Yeah.
And they test you on all sorts of things, and they choose a day, and they say, right. Show me this, and show me that. Show me that you've done this, and show me that you've done that. it's like an exam for a whole day.
All right. Yeah, I think it's like that in a lot of our ministries now. The paperwork is more and more of it everywhere.
It is like that everywhere.
Anyway, the yoghurt, how much you're making.
Exactly. Well, we've just been kind of playing around with it up until now. And now,
I've been the guinea pig a couple of times. It's delicious.
Yeah, you said you put it in your smoothies, eh?
I do put it in my smoothies.
Still need to make your smoothie recipe, Craig.
I'll drop you one off tomorrow when I make one.
How's deal. it's just like a natural Greek kind of style yogurt, not any flavors yet, but the my favorite part about it, other than the fact that it's like seriously delicious, I was spooning some out onto my breakfast this morning and I was like, man, this is good, like this is just so good. But the coolest part is that it's in glass, obviously. But when you think about it, there's not really any dairy yogurt in the supermarkets that are in glass. Like all the coconut yogurt is in glass. But there's not really many other dairy yogurts.
Actually, you're right. All the plastic ones, you know, the Fonterra ones and everything, even the, you know, the other smaller little ones.
No, it's great because we just sterilize the bottles and reuse them, and so we get bottles back all the time and send them out again. So imagine how much plastic that's saving.
It's
incredible, really, when you think about it.
That's right.
And it's going to be the
especially
same.
Especially those little, the kids, you know, the six-pack, the little things. Well, those big ones, slightly different. Yeah, still leaves of plastic, but, those little individual little ones or whatever.
Yeah.
Leaves of plastic and those.
But the good thing about it, too, is that, we know that there's absolutely nothing at all added to it other than milk and the yogurt culture. So no additives, no sugar,
someone
nothing.
Asked me if there was sugar in the other day.
But there's nothing. So it's basically just so...
So it has to be pasteurised for the yogurt or...?
It does.
But it actually, when you make it, it kind of... That part of the process is sort of the heating it up part. And so you kind of ultimately pasteurise it then anyway.
So it's exciting,
It's really exciting.
It's been fun.
We'll put it, and I've just got to, just the other day I emailed Foodstuffs and sort of said, I want to put the yogurt in Foursquare and the other Foursquares that we supply. So I haven't heard back from him yet, but as soon as I do, it'll be in Foursquare down here.
All right.
And, it's on the website for orders.
You'll be delivering it now?
We're delivering it. So you can order it for whatever order you've got. And
And then hopefully we might do a flavour.
The plan.
I did when you were mucking around with. I did try your vanilla bean.
You liked the vanilla bean, didn't you?
That was lovely.
That was nice.
I tried the berry one, but I hear that was delicious too.
And I also made a passion fruit at one stage.
Oh yeah.
Just for fun, and we just ate it out the staff, all of our staff.
Fair enough.
Took it home and like. Okay. So it was kind of cool.
Well, that's cool, yeah. I mean, you can expand that. There's lots of different ways out of yoga, don't you? Once it sort of gets going and going well, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then everyone always asks, so when's your cheese coming?
When's your cheese coming, Jess?
Good question. It's been coming soon on the website for the last 5 years.
Yes, yeah. We're talking about the very first interview of the show, is cheese coming?
We thought we would, I thought we would have done it before we did yogurt, actually, because we were, like, mum loves doing it. And it's so delicious, but it's like a whole another ball game, like a whole lot of extra equipment and time and
regulatory
stuff
that we'll have to do.
Whereas yogurt was much easier. We kind of had the equipment that we needed there. Mm. We just needed the culture to do it.
What do you do to make, like, sour cream?
Yeah, I know a few of our customers make sour cream.
Yeah, someone was telling me. I don't think it's all that difficult.
No, not really.
I've never actually tried it, but someone was saying,
you
it's
just
easy
to just acidify the milk, I suppose.
But you're going that way. And cottage cheese, I don't know what the process is there, but, yeah.
It's different. Well, they're all a little bit different, aren't they? Different temperatures, different types of... Sometimes they have a culture, and sometimes they just have like a lemon juice or a vinegar or something like that, which... That's like for ricotta or something. You just
I suppose if you use like lemon juice or whatever, that'd like curdle a little.
There's so many options. There's so many options. I mean, it would be amazing to do it. It really would.
I hear people shouting down the radio, when's the next batch of chocolate milk coming out, Jess?
Oh, yeah, true.
This is a good question.
So it was the Easter treat, the last one when it came out, wasn't it?
Easter treat? Yeah, I think so.
Christmas treat for the fans?
Yeah, Christmas treat, I reckon. We were supposed to do Labour Weekend was what I wanted to do, but then it kind of just came and went, and I was like, oops.
It's a bit like that this year, isn't it?
Very much so.
It's gone so fast.
It's like November already.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Now Mike's up there with us too.
That's another big change.
Hopefully
sharing
doesn't mind.
But he's building his new chocolate making space up there, which is really exciting. And
It's so cool. It smells amazing up there now. Because he's bought all his noisy grinding equipment up a while ago and set that up in our old shipping container, in our old creamery, which is a shipping container. And when you're milking the cows now, you get these wafts of chocolate coming through.
There's a pipe that used to, the milk used to run from the cow shed to the old creamery.
Yeah.
So there's a pipe still there that leads from the old creamery into the cow shed. And so it's literally like funneling chocolate smell into the cow shed, which is like... Yeah. The best, but also really weird.
Yeah. Yep.
It's very cool. Ah, cow poo. Yeah, come over. Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
What a combination. Experience.
Yeah.
And then, so that's exciting. We're really excited about him being there.
Yep.
Hopefully Lars won't mind us sharing, but Lars from Raglan Gelato is also moving up to make his gelato. So Mike will move out of our old creamery and Lars will move in there. So we'll have a whole little food hub, which is, really cool.
That's really cool, you know. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that, there's always not enough space in town, eh? You know,
yes.
To do
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Might have to build another big massive shed, you guys.
It's just lovely to have them there. I mean, it's so exciting for us, too, because, especially Mike at the moment, he's so excited and passionate about what he's doing, and it's so cool to see that. Yeah. So, it's lovely. Lovely to be there.
I'm trying to think what else has been happening up there. What is it? It's half past. Anyway, I better kind of wrap it up soon. anything else you guys want to say?
Well, we just want to say a massive, huge thank you to Raglan Community. Without you guys, we couldn't have done this, really. And we're extremely grateful, always will be, so grateful for your support and getting on board. I guess.
Yeah, and our awesome staff.
The staff have been, we've had some fantastic staff. We've still got fantastic staff and very appreciative.
Yeah, it's always interesting going over there from all over the world too, hey, you know?
Yeah, totally. And it's just and if we ever have someone new start, I'm always like, welcome to the family, you know, because it's just like a big family and we.
That's how it feels up there too. You guys have made a nice atmosphere up there for people, you know.
Have cake on people's birthdays and.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you've also moved into your own house too, Jess. That's something that's happened the last 2 years.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was exciting. Moving it.
Moving through the paddocks down the hill on the back of a truck.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That was
down a very steep hill and up a very steep hill.
Like, did I have insurance for that? I hope so. As it sat halfway up
really
the hill overnight while they when they came back. So, it's certainly a work in progress, but. But I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love the character of it. And it's just very, very lucky.
For sure, yeah. No, it's a lovely old place. Mm. From the outside, anyway, I'll have to come around and have a cup of tea or something one day.
Games night.
Oh, games night. Games night. We'll do that. One of these Sundays.
Definitely.
All right.
One quick thing I've just remembered.
Yes.
It's a put a plug in for everybody. Please, now that it's getting so hot, get your chili bins and cooler bags out for when we put your milk out for you. Because I hate putting milk out and, you know, on a hot day, leaving it for people. I was delivering milk in Hamilton yesterday, and it's just, there was a few places I went to that I left it there, and I was like, I don't want to leave milk here because I hadn't put a chili bin out.
Yeah,
and right. it's really important from now on. I think that everyone remembers that.
Very good advice. Yeah. Yes. anything else to add?
Probably not. Well, hopefully we'll just keep keeping on up there.
Yeah.
yeah. Hopefully we'll still be there. And everyone's, of course, always welcome. We have lots of people now that come up and get bits of milk because they're making cheese at home, which is so cool. Yeah. There's lots of people that have been doing
cheese classes.
Like Gabrielle's doing cheese classes with halloumi and people around the town doing making their own bits of cheese, and they come back and so excited about what they've made, and we love that. So we're very, very happy for anyone to come up if they want to get milk to make things. Just give us a bell and come on up.
Right on.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
And you do like a few tours that too, Jess, up there.
Yeah, I love that. Well, a few weeks ago we had 45 six- and seven-year-olds when they arrived.
That was fun.
That I was like, what have I done? Like, this is way too many kids.
Yeah.
But actually, no, teachers were amazing, and it was really cool.
Teachers were amazing. The parents were amazing at helping, I guess.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love it. That's what it's all about for me, is, like, educating people on farming and what we do. And, So, I want to get into that more and more, especially with the different... like the gelato and chocolate coming up as well.
I think it's particularly interesting. I do bang on about this a bit, but the urban kind of rural divide. It's probably worse than ever. You know?
I could bang on about this forever. Too.
Yeah, and it's, it doesn't need to be like that. I mean, and you know, there's still a lot of anti kind of farmer rhetoric around,
and a lot of misinformation
and that.
Things
for sure,
that
you know?
People read that they that's come out on something and they think it's true, but. Yeah, come and talk to people about it instead of just jumping to conclusions, and you know, just find out what really happens before you, you know,
absolutely,
make judgments. I feel, because you know, what we're trying to do is the best by everything, really, our environment, our animals, and everything around us, and
people, basically. And you wouldn't find two more lovely people to talk to either, ladies and gentlemen, than Bronwyn and Jess.
Thank you, Craig.
Very lovely, nice, warm, empathetic people.
We have some lovely chats, actually, don't we?
We really do.
We have some deep, meaningful chats.
Oh, I like that.
It's very interesting. It's
anyway, I better wrap it up. It's kind of, I'll get this edited and send off to our friends at Free FM, so thanks very much for coming in, Bronwyn.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been really cool.
Yeah, come back again. First time in the studio, yes.
Well, Jess invited me to come, so I was like, okay.
You sure you want me?
Craig invited me.
I talk so much normally.
I've tried to be restrained today, Jess.
I said to Mum, I've got I'll look at you if you...
Shush, Mum, stop talking. I don't think I've had too many looks yet.
It's all being good. Thank you for coming in again, Jess.
No problem.
This is the 100th show after the very first guest.
So proud.
Will there be a 200th? Probably not. But you never know.
Craig. Of course there will. Yeah, definitely. You have to keep going. You've got it so well sussed here. I'm just so impressed.
Sometimes. All right. Well, thanks again, guys. Really appreciate you coming in. I know you're both really busy. So, yeah, thanks again. And you know, whenever the next one comes out or whatever, we'll get you back on again.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. And we need to drag Kathy here.
Oh, yes, let's get Kathy on.
She's not really into public speaking, but you never know. Maybe we could record her on the farm.
Yes, I do have a microphone at home now.
That would be a cool
idea,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, I do have a microphone. Yeah. I could do that, but yeah, it still might freak her out, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll work on it anyway. Cool. All right. Thanks, guys.
Raindrops in the window pane.
joined by our guest today, Carl Steiner. How you going, Carl? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep. I'm in Gallup here, organic certified dairy farmer, and milking 200 cows on 100 hectares with the plus 40 hectares we use for lucerne and grass. But yeah, that's what we do here. Yeah.
All right. And for folks who might not know, Carl, I mean, where is Galatea?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, not many people know where it is. We're 74 kilometres from Rotorua and 84 kilometres from Whakatane and 100 kilometres from Taupo.
All right.
So in the middle, in the triangle.
And it's got on the way to Murupara.
That's right, yeah. Murupara is just on the other side of the river, and the Kaingaroa Forest is on two sides of us, and the Yirrawarra National Park's on the other side.
Very nice, very nice indeed. Yeah. And it's an interesting name, Galatea, for New Zealand. And how did that happen like that, Carl?
It's Greek word for milk white.
Milk white?
Yeah, which is interesting.
Okay.
It all started with World War II. They had the ships that shipped troops all around the world, and one of them was called, the British ones, of course, called HMS Galatea, and it was quite a white-grey colour ship, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Quite a colour, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it is dairy farming area, though. There's 70 dairy farms here.
All right.
Yeah.
And there's also, I remember you saying to me one day that there's a couple of very interesting collections in Galatea too.
There is, yeah. Yeah, there's motorbike collection, beer can collection, car collection.
Is it the world's biggest beer can collection, I remember you saying?
It is, yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. About 14,000 beer cans, all different, and not all Steinlager or DB, they're all different.
14,000 beer cans, far out.
Yeah, that's my cousin Barry.
Right.
Barry Steiner, yeah.
All right. And who collects the motorbikes?
Guy down the road, Peter Wilmot. He used to own the Suzuki dealership in Auckland. And he's got quite a collection of motorbikes there. He's not showing them to too many people yet. But and the cars of my uncle. He's got mostly Australian and English cars, like the Falcons and the Ford Falcons and the Cortinas and Ford, I should say. Ford collection.
Right.
Yeah. There's one Mini there.
All right.
Yeah, and he's got the oldest four-cylinder car in New Zealand and the last V8 Falcon ever made in Australia, yeah.
What year would that have been, the last V8 that was ever made?
Only 3 years ago, or less than 3 years ago.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
The last one by accident, yeah.
All right, all right. Yeah. Interesting, man. So there's a few good reasons for folks to come down Galatea for a little jackknoll here, Carl?
That's right, yeah. Oh, plus we've got the natural scenery around, of course, yeah, the national park, the Te Yirrawarra National Park.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And yeah. The Whirinaki Forest Park as well.
Okay, so you're right by Whirinaki as well, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, trout fishing.
Oh, really? Interesting, yep. Interesting.
Yeah, and Kaingaroa Forest, of course, there's a lot of interesting things happening around that over the years too.
Yeah, okay then. Like what? Yeah.
Well, just the different ways of being cutting down trees and different trucks and different lots of things. Like the Whakatane Museum's a lot of information on that, and the Rotorua Museum's not open anymore, unfortunately, but a lot of stuff there as well.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Plenty to see and do, Galatea.
There is, yeah. Yep, yeah. There's whitewater rafting as well down the rivers.
So would that be the Motu go through there?
No, that's further over coming. Well, it's not far from here, funny enough. It's just over the Yirrawarra National Park, or partway over it, I should say.
Ah, on the other side of the Uruweras, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess tell us a little bit about yourself, Carl. I mean, how long you been there on your farm doing you do, and where did you get into organics and that kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. I've always had the notion, I guess, to say everything should be natural and no chemicals. Just sort of seen a lot of people with health problems caused by chemicals in their system. And, this is about 20 years ago I thought of that and went to a few organic days around the country, but I didn't own a farm, of course, by then. So But in the last 6 years, we've converted to organic and we've brought the farm as well. And, yeah, and it's going really well, other than a few dry seasons, yeah. And it's pretty much what the all the environmental groups and things want New Zealanders or New Zealand farmers to do, really, is basically change to more sustainable, less diesel used, no chemicals, basically, unless you really have to, for the animal welfare side of things.
Hey, and I might ask you, Carl, I mean, like, there's a lot of people, you know, regen ag this, regen ag that, talking about it. So yep. Maybe just make it clear and plain for the listeners, you know, what is regen and what is organic?
Yeah, well, organics basically covers the whole lot when it comes to helping, being good for the environment and healthy food. But regen is like a simpler way of getting into the system. It just means cutting back on things you can farm without, basically, which is chemicals, urea, possibly, on some of the farms. They go without. They're planting more trees, shade for the cows, lots of different types of grasses. And when I say grasses, most of them aren't actually grasses. There's a lot of other plants that cows can eat that grow all year round. And the deep rooting plants rather than shallow rooting. Because there's a lot of animal welfare regulations coming in fairly soon to do with the chemical use and urea use and phosphate use and shade for the cows is another thing that's coming in one day soon, and the carbon tax and a lot of things changing. But we, as an organic farmer, or even some of the regenerative farmers, are already doing it. We're already where the standard is changing to,
And organics has been around for quite a while, hasn't it, Carl?
It's been around for over 100 years. The distant ancestors of ours, Rudolf Steiner, he actually was the first one to write all about it. And way back then, putting compost on vegetable gardens and things like that, they realised it was making a difference, and looking after the wildlife around it, and it makes all the difference the way things grow.
So was Rudolf Steiner your great-great-great-granddaddy?
Somewhere, I'm not 100% sure, but according to my grandparents, we are related, dear. But he wasn't really a farmer, though, as such. He was more to do with observing what was going on and writing it down, basically.
Because was it 7 or 8 essays or lectures or something he gave, wasn't it, about agriculture?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I'm not 100% sure on how many there was, But that was the start of it, yeah. And but even back then, you wouldn't think there'd be any issues with chemicals, but there wasn't really. It was just like they were finding ground was very deficient after farming the same place for more than 3 or 4 years, and they decided to start bringing in compost and lime. I think they probably didn't have a lot of things they could use. In the transport situation way back then, it didn't bring in a 30-ton load of super phosphate or anything like that, or urea.
Yeah, it would have been
a wagon.
Yeah, it would have been like a horse and cart full or something, maybe. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, man. And so I know you've been, was it just last week, wasn't it, you were saying that you've been giving a couple of lectures to some students at Massey University about tree planting on farms.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, just on the side of the advantages and disadvantages, I guess, and we've had both. One thing is planting the correct type of tree. Especially on a dairy farm, we have to plant trees that don't taint the milk, and that's quite hard information to find. Even on the internet, that's very limited because each country's got different trees and different species and different colour leaves and all sorts and different nuts that are toxic and berries, and it's just ongoing, really. But we've come up with a list of about 70 plants that can be fed to cows, and plants, or trees, I should say, mostly. Trees that they say it's vertical farming. Where,
that's a lot more than I thought there would be, Carl.
But there's lots of others. We just found the common ones in New Zealand that don't cause any health problems to the cows and don't taint the milk, basically. So there's a lot of others that sheep and beef farms can use and have no issues, but we're sort of concentrating on the dairy side of it first, and then they're going to work on the rest from there. And some areas they've already done a lot of research on that. But like the willows and poplars and fig trees and a lot of the fruit trees, that they basically grow like a weed, and cows can basically chew them off at the ground and they'll grow again.
Mm.
Yeah, so and produce milk off it.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Because there is legislation going around as we speak, isn't there, about kind of making it mandatory for trees going on farms and things, isn't
it? That's right, yeah, to do with the carbon plan. Basically, the not necessarily the New Zealand government, but the United Nations and all the Global Energy Commission, is one of them, they're basically going to try and fix the environment as quick as possible, and landowners are the only way to do that, really. And also, I guess, in the ocean, that's going to cut back on a lot of fish species, or try to. But, yeah, there's a lot of things there as well, but the regulation's basically saying every landowner is going to be a carbon trader. And if you want to get out of the carbon trading system, you've got to plant trees to offset your carbon use. There's option one, which is pay carbon tax. Option two is to plant trees or crops that are going to sequester carbon. But at this stage, as far as I've read from everything, there's not a lot to... Well, they're working on it. They're testing of the land to see how much carbon you are sequestering into the ground.
Yeah,
that's going to be the hardest thing, is actually having a good system for that, for testing it. So at this stage, they just basically plant trees, 15 trees per hectare, which sounds like a lot. That's not actually when you work it out, because when they say tree, it could be a flax bush, it could be a fruit tree, it could be a grapevine, it could be willows, poplars, pines. I don't know if they're going to include blackberry, or probably not. But anything that can be measured from an overhead photo, like with Google,
yeah,
a satellite image, and so they're going to get an idea of what percentage of your farm is covered in trees, and that's going to alter how much carbon tax you're going to pay.
Okay.
Yeah, so at this stage they're looking at, in 2025, they're going to start that in June, I think it was. I think it's something like 2 cents per kilogram milk solids.
Mm.
And similar for a per kg of meat off a sheep and beef farm.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how they're going to do vegetable farms, and that's more of an animal side of thing, but I haven't seen any paperwork on that side of it.
All right.
Yeah, but like a standard house section's already got too many trees. They've already met the standards. Mm. Even a golf course in most cases have. But a lot of farms have got trees, but... it's just you got, with the system, you've actually got the options of planting it, what they call scattered planting, which is what I'm doing, which is just rows along the fence lines, like away from water troughs and power lines and things like that. And then you've got row planting, which is like in the pine forest, I guess, where it's just rows and rows of trees, so you can do a whole paddock. So it's 15 trees per hectare per land title, which is the way it's worded. And
okay, it's the same for dairy and sheep and beef, is it all?
It is, yeah. It's all the same, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's a slight variation though in what they're going to charge you, because sheep and beef don't normally use as much fuel in making the end product,
right?
And also not as much fertilizer. Yeah, so it's all to do with that.
Okay.
So basically, grass could be included in the carbon plan if you let it grow to full term. Like, the carbon that's going into the plant is going into the ground, but if you graze it off, you've released it again by putting it through the animal.
Right.
So if you let the grasses or pastures grow fully, when I say fully, like, say a plant takes 120 days to produce seed, if you let it go right to full term, and if it drops its seeds, you've actually put the carbon back in the ground, because the plant dies off slightly and then regrows again the next year, or the next growth cycle. So you're actually sequencing carbon into the ground with that, whereas if you're on a 30-day round, for example, you're not actually sequencing carbon, you're actually releasing it every 30 days.
Right. Okay.
So that's, that's where the what I call the buffalo grazing system is coming in with a lot of the regenerative farms, but it is quite hard to get it all working right. A mindset, really, a change of mindset, not just relying on ryegrass.
Yeah, and I'd say it'd be particularly difficult dairy farming wise to extend that rotation out, wouldn't it, Carl?
Yeah, we thought that too, but we're out to 60, 70 days, and it's no issues at all.
Okay.
But we need to go further.
Right.
But we've had to plant a lot of different varieties of plants to do that.
So how many species would you have on your property, do you think?
Last count, we had 47 that we'd added to it, and there's probably 35 that are already there.
Gee whiz. And so what's that like, 80-odd?
Yeah, there's quite a few natural ones,
yeah,
which you don't normally see very often because of we're grazing it all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a lot more. You can go over 140 different species if you want to, but this count we had was done by a farm advisor, and it was done in October, when it's the best looking grass in this area. And it was mostly the more dominant ones at that time of the year, see, because each time of the year it changes.
Yeah, yeah.
So winter would have been quite a different look, a lot of plants growing.
So how many plants have you...
In a square area. They just sort of measured it out and basically counted. Yeah.
All right. And so, like, when you say, like, things just pop up, I mean, how many varieties would you... Because you've left the grazing go longer, how many varieties do you think just popped up because they were just there in the soil?
Well, we've had... We've trialled one area that on the farm, one paddock, mostly because we had silo stacks and things in the paddock and round bales. We didn't really want the animals in there too much anyway. But like we've had bracken grown in the paddock that's a native, and we've had other little trees and things pop up that we don't really know what they are, and things that would normally grow in the garden if it's left long enough.
Yeah.
And we've even had the odd fern pop up.
Interesting.
But when I say pop up, they're only really small. Yeah. If you leave it longer, you do get a lot of other varieties, and it does a natural seed cycle. That's probably the most important thing. It everything reseeds. The 120 days is a reseeding cycle for 90% of the plants.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, might be more than 90%. It's just that's how nature intended it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it must have taken a little while to get your rotation stretched out that long. I mean, how'd you kind of go about that one, Carl?
Yeah, well, that was actually the hardest thing to get around that. When you've got plenty of grass, you start feeding out. Yeah, and you reduce the round down. So, we got 3.5 hectare paddocks on the farm, for example, and each milking, we break that into one-eighth of the paddock. Whereas before we were giving them twice as much area, but now we've got a lot more in that small, shorter area.
Right.
So it's just working it out. Like you have to work it when your active growing time is per year. Like we've pretty much 3 months when everything grows the best.
Yeah.
And then you got the other 9 months of the year. You have to work out how long your grazing round's going to be over that time, and where it's not growing at its best. And we worked out, like I say, most plants. So about 90 days would work quite well for our farm.
Okay.
But we don't have to go to the full 120 that I can see, but it may vary in different areas.
Right.
Yeah. So it'd be three and a bit rounds of the farm per year.
All right. And so did you have to do like a bit of fencing in that to make it all work, or you just like break feed it out here and there?
Just break feed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can imagine that'd be the most difficult kind of thing you have to do, is actually try and instigate it in the first place.
It is, Even we tried it last season and we buggered it up because we end up giving them too much at the wrong time. And because the idea is having 2 foot of ground cover, basically you're not susceptible to drought or frost. The plants aren't getting damaged by those, and we get high frost and low rainfall here over summer. But the other months of the year are going really well.
All right.
So we had to find a balance. Yeah, that's the hardest thing. And also when you spend a lot of money on all these extra plants you want grown in your paddocks, you don't want to have a short grazing cycle anyway, because they only grow once. They don't get a chance to establish, and they don't get to reseed.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, and the 90 days, there's a lot of plants that do drop their seeds in the 90 days, well, ryegrass being one, of course.
Mm.
But it still depends on different times of the year for different things there. So just have to find a happy medium and try it out.
Yeah. And I mean, going organic, I mean, that must have been a difficult decision too, like not using, you know, your synthetic fertilisers and all your pesticides and herbicides and stuff like that.
We weren't really using any chemicals anyway. It's about 20 years since we used any antibiotics or penicillin that we've had to put in the cows. Like the vet's done a few things like with sore feet and things like that in the past, but this is before we even changed to organic.
Mm.
And we were only system one, system two anyway. Some of the ones that are at the high end of the scale, system five, will really find it hard to change. But the way things are going, they're pretty much going to have to, unless they want to pay heaps of carbon tax. And everyone wants them to reduce cattle numbers on farms by 15 to 20%, and we've already done that years ago, so it wasn't really an issue for us. And and the cost, like 20 years ago, for example, it was about $8,000 to do the certification paperwork each year. About six years ago, it was $2,800. Now it's about 3,200, so it has gone up again.
Wow, man. Yeah, it's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of. But at least the main thing is you're not ruining the environment, and you're looking after the things for the future, and a lot of costs disappear as well.
Yeah.
Like we're not teat spraying, we're not using any penicillin, we're not spraying out paddocks. If we do cultivate a paddock, mostly for lucerne, we're actually grazing it down hard and ploughing it, and have it all fully cultivated and planted back in the same day.
Is the
plan, but doesn't always happen like that.
Have you been keeping tabs on the organic products bill going through Parliament at the moment?
Yeah, I have. There's a few things going to make things awkward, like buying a patch of land and then later on down the track adding another farm to it. That's going to be an issue. But same thing, it's all going to come down to who the certifiers are and what they think about it, that last little bit.
Righto, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like Assure Quality and Biogrow, and NOP and EU, they're all the main ones we deal with.
So the bill's basically got it. What, none of those things will exist anymore, or just be one kind of outfit,
They still exist. The organics product bill's only really a international standard that they want all countries to have a baseline, and then they add on each different certifier is going to have a slightly different thing, which they seem to anyway. They do have different ideas on things, yeah.
Okay. And what are your thoughts about the organic products bill going through, Carl?
I was supposed to go to a meeting at Whakatane the other day, and I didn't get there. I don't know every detail on it, but someone like Bill Quinn with Organic Ag, he's got a lot of stuff on his website.
Yep.
And OANZ has got the list too, of course. It's all available to have a look at. Even Dairy NZ theoretically should have it in their system as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. No. I remember talking to our local MP about it. It's generating a lot of discussion for sure. The organic products bill. Either way, you know, some people are quite supportive of it, and some people. I remember talking to Bill Quinn about it, and he's not so super keen on it as it is. But it's a really interesting one.
And it's basically making things harder, which is the same with any sort of farming at the moment. We've got the three waters as well. I'm not sure what the outcome of that. Well, that's going to be either yet.
That's another one bubbling along, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't studied that too hard yet, but be worth looking at. yeah, mostly like the farmers, a lot of irrigation and high water use, and it's going to cost them, yeah, at the stage.
Yeah, quite right, man. And anyway, Carl, we've kind of I've got to go. So thanks very much for coming on here. I really appreciate it, Carl. And we didn't quite cover all the things I wanted to talk about. So I might have to get you on at some stage in the future and have another chat, Carl, if that's going to work. Cool, man.
All right.
Thank you very much, Carl. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And take care, man. Thank you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.